I call this my living presentation about death, because every time I give it, and I've given it many times in webinars or in person, somebody says, but you forgot this, or what about that? So with the computer club, that's their name in Florida, the guy said, what about, you know, two-factor authentication? What if, you know, the phone needs the fingerprint? And so I researched that on how you can get around that and added it to my presentation and sent it off to him. So, again, with my presentation, I'm learning stuff with it all the time. I also have several handouts. I have taken this presentation and put it into a Word document. There are no graphics hardly at all in here, so it's easier to read. And I have a doc on where to find stuff when I'm gone, as to, you know, where are all, where have we stuffed all of our stuff that our executors or whoever can find. And you can have it as a Word table or an Excel spreadsheet. And I keep adding, I went to a Skirball presentation today and I thought, aha, I don't think that's in my, where do you find my stuff when I'm gone? And so I need to add that. So that's a living document too. And you have to put your technology hats on now, okay, because we're tech people, so to speak. So, have to think about how much of your life is virtual. Do you know anybody that doesn't have a computer, a tablet, or a smartphone, at least one of those things? Every email, every payment, movie, picture, every file in the cloud is one of your digital assets. But what happens if you die and nobody can retrieve them? Your estate can get stuck in digital probate. And that's a new couple of words. And it's kind of out there on the new frontier of how do we handle all of this stuff. This is all about being proactive. So it's information about us that is electronic. We've posted it online, or we stored it on our hard drive, on our external hard drive. It's on CDs, DVDs, flash drives. And your wearables. Think about if you have any wearable technology. How much information is in there? That do you really want that just floating around, or would you rather have it all taken care of? What do we need to pass on? Our logins and passwords. Nobody can get into anything if they don't have that. I knew that. Okay. So the year after you die is one of the most vulnerable times for identity theft. It's a public record. Criminals have absolutely nothing better to do than comb through the obits, all this good kind of stuff. And they can manage your virtual life after death, protect your privacy, your identity, and your reputation. I gave this at a group in Arizona. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh, and I talked about something later on in the presentation, and I laughed, and I looked at the obit of somebody in our little Signal paper the next day, and it was prime for ID theft. Everything that was in the obit was perfect for somebody to instantly steal their ID. We need to be thinking about that. We need to pass this information on. So, and your heirs don't need to get caught in a long, drawn-out probate process. I've had people say it's taken them over a year to get everything. Let's not be mean to those people that are left that we have given the responsibility to take care of all of this for. Let's make it easier for them. Because, you see, I picture my daughter, whose responsibility it is. I don't want her crying a lot because, oh, I'm going to do this together. I want to make it as easy for her as I possibly can for my tech kid. So it's called ghosting. Our personal information is stolen to commit take over our accounts, taxpayer ID theft, refund fraud, medical ID theft, which is huge normally, your driver's license ID theft, apply for new credit cards and loans. I don't know why anybody would want to be me and apply for employment, but what the heck, you know, more power to it. And the creditors come after your heirs, problems with your estate, lenders being fooled, and money is lost in your name. So they're trashing your name. So please, I say, everybody in this room should write their own obituary. Because whoever your executor is or your kids, they're going to feel they need to fill in all the blanks. And that's when you get the ID theft like the one that was in the Signal. Every mother's maiden name, whole nine yards. And remember, anyone can access it. Reads the newspaper. And think about the funeral tribute page. My son's been gone for 8 years, and just for grins, I, you know, Googled Randy Talore on Eternal Valley, and there it was. It doesn't say a darn thing about any personal information. It's just about his accomplishments and things like this, because his sisters and I put it together. But that stuff all stays there forever. If you want to put it into a memorial page like on Facebook, that's going to stay there. You don't want to put in too much information. So, here's something. This kind of stuff is perfectly all right. And this is just one that I found out on the Internet. And don't forget, you are going to get a copy of this. So you don't need to be taking pictures, Leah. But this is kind of okay. But nobody needs to know that I was born in El Segundo. Because I really wasn't. I was born in Inglewood at the Stark's Nest Lying In Hospital. But I like to say I was born in El Segundo because that was where I was raised. My parents' names. This is where people put in their mother's maiden name because that's what it says to do. How many bank accounts did we put together back in the day when we first started filling out records? And they said your mother's maiden name, and we put it in there. Now we tell everybody lie about it. You know, they don't know what your mother's maiden name is, but we don't want that any place, but we've all got it on our 1,000-year-old bank accounts from back in the day. Don't put in your graduation year. You don't want them to be able to go to the school and see what kind of information they can find out about you. Who cares when you were married? Who cares when you were divorced? If you've been married 13 times, you know, there's not going to be enough paper to put all this information. Do they really need to know every place you've worked? We've all probably been retired for many years. Most of us, I'm sorry. Young people are here. But what difference does it make? Do they really need to know that back in the day before kids, I worked at North American Aviation? I don't think anybody would even know who that is now. But thank you for knowing. You know, well, then you shouldn't be in Who's Who. And your memberships. Do they really know that you are a lifetime member of the Los Angeles Computer Society? You know, I mean, I know, but your volunteers. Who in the world cares that you volunteered at the computer club every month? So think about this when you're filling it out in advance. Your heirs or whoever, they're going to fill in all this information. Does anybody care where I go to church? I don't think so. And do they need to know that my hobbies are computer reading and gardening? Why? I'm not here anymore. And then there's you have the survivors, and you have the first name, their mother's name, and there you go, ID theft, right there. So they need your mother's maiden name, your address. Perhaps when you go home, there will be nothing left, you know. Birth date, you know, she was 79 when she died. They don't need to know when and all that good kind of stuff. So high school, college graduation, what difference does it make? Is it really important that they know I graduated in 1957 from El Segundo High School? I don't think so. And don't include your pet's name because 1 in 6 passwords include your pet's names. I know that's not the way for anybody that's here, though. And if it is, you better change it. Well, no, but you no. Well, no. Everything we wrote about Randy was his life. He worked for the city. He was responsible for taking care of the ball diamonds. They were the best ball diamonds the city ever had. Baseball field. It was all about that. He had 2 children. That love to do this and that. Their names were not there. You know, so it was a biography about his life from a certain time with no dates, no names. You know, we didn't say Riley and Seth. We didn't say Judy Griffin Talore or anything like this. It was just all about him. And it reads very nicely. Because with the name, address, and date of birth, bad guys can purchase your Social Security on the Internet for as little as $10. You know, I'd like my Social Security number to be worth more than $10. But if AARP says that's so, I trust them. So I personally don't want this to happen. I don't want to put my daughters through it, and I don't want my identity trashed. That's just me personally, little Judy Valour. So, yes. About that. Yeah, it's in here. So, you have to think. Where are you? Do you have a Gmail account? Yahoo? Hotmail? Outlook? Are you on Groupon? Facebook? Twitter? You have to think about your digital presence in the world. And some of us have more than others. I've been doing this for over 30 years, so I have a lot more presence than a lot of you guys do. And like I say, my name is written on all the bathroom walls and internet because back in the day, we didn't know about protecting our first and last names. So here's just a partial list. You're going to have some of those. You're going to have more than what's on here. I personally don't have a password for my computer, nor do I have passwords for my external hard drives, my flash drives. So those are the kinds of things that I don't have to worry about. If anybody wants that laptop, more power to them. It's not got a bit of information that's going to do anybody any good. It's got my curriculum for 22 years worth of classes, all of my APCUG stuff, my group's newsletters. There is not one thing personal on there. So please, take it and be gone. You guys might have much more personal information on yours than I do, so that you have it password protected. If your kids can't or your executor can't get into it, the best thing they can do is beat it to death with a hammer. Take your hard drive out and drill a hole in it. So, what do you need your logins and passwords for? What have you got? Your smartphone, your wearables, your tablet, your computers, your external drive, your Wi-Fi, your network, your Spectrum modem, your router. What kind of entertainment do you have? And I'm looking at this, and I didn't have Amazon Prime on here, and I thought, oh, I've got an Amazon Prime account. I need to add that on here. Do you do your banking online? They all have unique usernames and passwords, or they should. So do you pay your bills automatically? I don't. I do all my banking online, but I only do it from my computer at my house. And I'm a beta tester for the new Edge Chromium. And by golly, when I logged into my bank, the bank said, and who are you? Because I always log in via Chrome. And I said, oh, it's me, you know. Yes, this is the same computer, you know. You have software subscriptions that you pay for monthly or annually that are automatically deducted. I said to myself, I don't have these. Yes, I do. I have a Office 365 subscription, and I have an iDrive online backup program subscription that is automatically taken out until my credit card dates are wrong. So I thought, oh, yeah, you have those too. And again, what kind of social media accounts do you have that need to be closed? Why would I use anybody else's? Just asking. Okay, if you have podcasts that you do you have a YouTube channel? You have a website. I heard Stephanie say she was thinking about maybe selling things online or doing something like that. Okay. She's going to open up something on Etsy, and she's going to. How do your kids get the money from that? So you have to think about all of that. Yes. Apple's not going to let anybody, if they're not going to let the government do it, they're not going to let your heirs do it. So you. Okay, he wants to know, you all remember when the government wanted Apple, San Bernardino, when all those people got shot over there, and they wanted Apple to give up so they could see if there was anybody else involved, and Apple said, I'm sorry. He wants to know if heirs could sue Apple, and if they're not going to let the government in, unless they've got a really, you know, judge that thinks that way, they're not going to let you in. That's why it's so important for you to have all this information available for somebody. In my case, I'm fingerprint. And if I go like this accidentally, a passcode comes up. Stacy will know the passcode. So I'm going to say, just kind of take your finger and go like that so it doesn't quite work. She knows the passcode, so she can get in via that. So this is the kind of stuff you have to have written down somewhere for your people to be able to take care of all this. So you need to think about creating a list of your online accounts. My suggestion is have, I still use shorthand tablets to this day because they're compact next to my keyboard, and have a tablet next to your chair with a pen there where you're watching television, and as something pops in, you write it down. Don't make yourself sit at your computer and start trying to think of everything that you've got, because I certainly didn't think of Prime. I've given this many times without Prime on there until I thought, aha, you know. And as they come to you, write down the information. I have a this kind of account. That means you're going to have to do the username and password. If you have had accounts for 16,000 years and you have not used them, we're technology people here. Close them down. Don't have your digital executor do that for you. That's my Stacy. She's my executor, but she's also my digital executor, specifically spelled out. Be a good person. I have a Yahoo account. The only reason I had a Yahoo account is because the majority of my students would have Yahoo, because they'd have SBC Global and another account, and they were all actually Yahoo accounts. I wouldn't be got dead using Yahoo. And so I need to shut that down. I have a Rocket Mail account, which is a version of Microsoft's Hotmail. And Outlook.com supersedes Hotmail. So I need to be a good mother and close these out. And save, you know, check that off Stacy's list, so to speak, before it even gets to her. Never heard of it, sorry. Anybody heard of Proton Mail? My Gmail kid. The two email programs you don't want is Yahoo, nor do you want AOL. And if you are using either one of those, you need to get rid of them, and you need to open more secure accounts. Those are the two accounts that get hacked more than any other. I'm sure you all have, if you have, back in the day when it was Time Warner, I always said they were my first line of defense. I use Avast free security program. All my students did, my family all does. I have never, ever had a problem anywhere. I have good usernames and extremely good passwords on all my email accounts. And I've never, ever been hacked, and I have 9 Gmail accounts. And most, I'm not going to say, but many of the groups that have Yahoo are going to Google I.O. accounts, and they're much more happy with them. It's not my personal choice. Yeah, I know. So, again, do you have accounts that are paid automatically? Do you have photos, photo albums in the cloud? Do you have you made Flickr or something like this? Again, that's someplace you need to think about. He's shaking his head. I don't have that either. But a lot of people, what is it, Snapshot? You know, so if you have that, you need to think, I need to get that, you know, put that username and password down for my digital executor. I go into that. Okay? And my other thing, yes. Oh, how do you shut down Yahoo? AOL. AOL's for old people. We're not old. Anyway, do you have lots of photos, just in general, that even you don't know who they are? I have a black trunk behind me on my hearth. It came across from Pennsylvania when my daddy's dad was coming over here to help start up the second refinery in the state of California, hence El Segundo. If you don't know, that's why El Stinko's called that. It was called El Cinco because of the refinery, but El Segundo because it's the second. The first one was what's now Atlantic Richfield. It used to be in Martinez. But it was filled with photos of who in the world are all these old people. So one day, I saved my kids the trouble of having to round file all of them, and I went through the entire thing. There was not one photo in there. For all intents and purposes, I'm an orphan now. My brother, my last brother, I don't think would have known who any of those. So think about things like this. Don't leave that kind of stuff around for somebody else to do it. We're capable of doing that ourselves. And if you do see people who it is, write their name on the back. So when your kids or whoever it is going through it, they kind of have a sense what they're looking at before they round file them. So what you need to do, as far as I'm concerned, is designate somebody to be your digital executor in your will or your living trust. And this person should know how to deal with email accounts, social media accounts, online storage, and all of those things right there. I'm a Windows kid, as is my digital executor. I'm an Android. I'm the only Android in the family. Everybody else is iPhone. So, happy Joyce, Stacy. But they need to, you know, be familiar with that, and they need to know about something about your apps and your software you've got, in case there's something where they need to get into and shut it down. She is that person. My oldest daughter is an AP history teacher. And as her brother used to say, Lori would be sitting on the couch, and she'd be grading papers, and she'd think, I think I'm supposed to be doing something for Mother now. And she'd completely forget about that she was my executor and was supposed to be taking care of things, whereas my business daughter will go doom, 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 and it will be all done. So if you do have a digital executor, choose somebody who knows what they're doing and can do it very easily, because they're doing this in addition to feeling bad that you're no longer here, all the rest of the stuff that's embroiled in all of this. They've got all your digital stuff to take care of. When I did my living trust, I got back with the attorney and I said, would you please add a digital executor? He said, oh my gosh, what a good idea. And this was a relatively young guy. He says, I've never thought about that. Do you mind if I add this to the list of questions that I send out to all my prospective clients? And I said, sure. You know, I read it someplace and thought it was a good idea. You know, just pass it on. So, don't include any logins and passwords in your will because it's a public document. You need to research how to close your accounts if you want to be a really good person. Create a list of URLs. This is where you go to close this account. This is where you go to close a Gmail account. This is where you can find instructions on where to go. So, we're the technology people. We're retired. We have time on our hands, so to speak, except for those of us who over-volunteer. And, you know, give them as much information as you possibly can. In our case, we just Google it. Google's your best friend. But I also talk about something about that later on, too. So, what are you going to use for all this account information, logins and passwords, for everything that you need to have close? And again, for some of us, it's going to be a short list. For others, it's going to be page after page. So, are you going to use a password program? How many people in this room use a password program as we speak? What's wrong with the rest of you? Okay, what's a password program? Never mind. I talk about that, so we'll wait. So you can put your account, your login information, and your password list on an encrypted flash drive. How do you encrypt a flash drive? That is something you could talk at a meeting here. You could have an encrypted file on your computer, and your digital executor would have the excellent password that you put together for that. Or do you just have the list of everything in a notebook? Every time we talk at my meeting about passwords, this guy comes with his black notebook. It's the skinny ruled paper. And he has pages after pages after pages of account information, logins, and passwords. We have yet to figure out what he does with all of this stuff. But there he is. So Dashlane is a password program. The two that I'm talking about are the two most highly rated. This is the pricey one. It's $60 a year. It will create unique passwords for you instead of having your cat's name or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It will fill in forms for you when you go to your XYZ account. It says right in front of your very eyes, oh, I know that. And it types in your username and your password for you. So you no longer have to remember anything. And I am fighting this because I still like to be able to remember things. And at my November virtual technology conference, Joe Kissel, who is a publisher of Take Control Books out of San Diego, he said, You have some passwords out that you don't put in your password program that you still want to remember who they are. And I thought, oh, I can do that. I can still think. My memory's still really sharp because I have these passwords that I'm not using the password program for. It is a perfect place to keep all of your information. And you give your master password to your digital executor. So when you're gone, all your information is in your password program. Dashlane is an excellent one. It's pricey. The other one that is always highly rated is called LastPass. And they have a free account that I don't recommend. Other than that, it's $2 a month equals $24. It does the exact same thing. Remember, you're getting a copy of this presentation. You don't really need to take notes because it's all in there. And it'll come to you looking like a Word document as a PDF. But this is where you add all your credit card information, the whole nine yards. So this is a one-stop shopping document. And again, you give your master password to your digital executor. Yes. It's not. It doesn't have that. I don't think it has enough places for the normal person. Enough place where you can enter the information. RoboForm has been around for 16,000 years. They used to work with computer clubs. And at my Southwest Technology Conference that several of you came to every year, they would give raffle prizes, door prizes. And I would get, each year I would get in touch with their vice president, who was my liaison, and I'd say, why don't you guys start adding all these other email accounts and things like this, and credit cards, and blah, 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 blah. And he said they did the email, they did the social networking and stuff, but they hadn't gotten into the bottom line stuff where you can have it as one-stop shopping. And he said, they're always so busy updating the program, they don't have time to do that. Now they all do that. It's one-stop shopping. And you can designate someone who can get access to your passwords in the event you're not available. Let's say you're in the hospital for a length of time, or you go to care after the hospital. You can specify a waiting period, or you can say they can access my passwords, logins and passwords, immediately. So say you have to pay something, and it can't, if you're gone, incapacitated for a month or so, you don't want a late payment. They can go in and get the login and password and take care of it for you. Two-factor authentication. How many people use 2FA for anything? If you pay your bills online or you do any interaction with your bank, you need to be using 2FA for sure. And it's just the second step of your username, your password, and an extra authentication. I only access my bank at home. My 2FA is they call me on my phone, on my Time Warner Spectrum VoIP phone. So they need the phone or email account where that verification information is set. And you need to create a list of your backup codes. A lot of people actually set up their two-factor authentication. And when you do that, there's areas where you get a code that you can bypass it. For some reason, you fall off the turnip truck or the account gets closed or you lose your phone. Well, they can't call you if you've lost your smartphone. And so that's in the setup menu. And like I said, in my Android, I've got the fingerprint on the back. If I miss it, it pops up with the 2FA. It's got a code. Like I said, I'll tell Stacy to kind of go like that, and that'll pop up, and she knows the code to pop in, and it opens my phone. You can, if you have set it up yourself, I've never set one up myself, but according to my friend Google, when you set it up yourself, with my bank, it was just, hi, what do you want, email, smartphone, text, or landline? I said, phone, and that was the extent of my setup. But in others, there's a procedure that you go through to set it up, and in there is your code. I don't know if it's numerical or alphanumerical. Okay. And I would call them and see what they have to say about it. Because like with mine, it was, which way do you want it to come? And it was one of the normal three. There was nothing else other than it. It was super simple. And the only problem is with this is if we do change our usernames for any reason, which we wouldn't, but our passwords, we need to remember to keep this. However we do it, if you choose a black notebook with ruled lines, you need to keep all your stuff up to date. That's kind of the biggie. And please remember that they need to close down your email accounts and phone last because of verification. I'm SCV Judy all over town, but I'm SCVJudy@USA.net. That is the account that if I forget my password on anything, that comes to SCVJudy@USA.net to have the password reset. So if Stacy shut that down first, she'd be up a crick. So they need to understand this is kind of what you shut down last, your phone. And most people don't have one place where everything goes. So your email accounts and your phone are the last things that they shut down. Because if you do it on Facebook, they might need a verification email. There's many websites to assist you in putting lists together. Everplans is one of these sites. I found it when I was Googling stuff, and they say, store and share everything important with us. It's secure. It's a digital archive of everything your loved ones will need should something happen to you, which is exactly what I'm talking about, but you get to do it for free yourself because, of course, you're going to pay for the privilege of having everything stored at Everplans wherever it is. And you can't find out how much it is. I did not want to set up a test account, and you can't find out how much it is without doing that. But it's got... This is just a partial list of the information that you can get on that website. And it's specific to California or Kansas or Oklahoma or New York or wherever. So we're interested in California. And it has a place where they have how to close many different kinds of email accounts and other accounts. The instructions are all there. And it's all there for us to do research, not plagiarizing, Stephanie, okay? The word is research. Now, question. How many people have a Social Security account that they have set up online? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Thank you. Okay? Everybody in this room needs to go to that address. You'll get a copy of this. And set up your very own Social Security account. They're going to want to know how many freckles you have and all this good kind of stuff. You need to set it up with your username and password and all these verification things if something should happen before somebody else who has stolen your Social Security number does it for you. It's just preventive maintenance. If you and your kids need to do this, your grandkids need to do this. I don't really care if you ever access it. You're doing preventive maintenance from somebody setting one up, saying they're you. And if you ever have to access and set this up yourself, they'll look you right in the eye, so to speak, from wherever they are and say, I'm sorry, you already got one set up. And you'll say, I've never set one up before. Somebody set it up and said they were you. So they have access to everything regarding Social Security. They could go in and change where your direct deposit should go, the whole nine yards. So this is just one of those things you need to set it up and let it sit there so the bad guys don't do it. How many people have created an IRS account? Oh, back row, outstanding. There's four of us. Everybody needs to do this. Okay, I say this. And it's like, these are the same kind of lights we had in El Segundo High School in 1957. I just want to tell you that, okay? And they don't have them anymore. I would be so happy when one of my students would say, you know, I got this virus or something. I mean, I really felt bad. But, you know, you read about this happening. And since it never happened to me, I really can't say, you know, you do. This really does happen. And so I gave this presentation out to the Glendora group, and this guy sitting in the front row said, somebody set up an IRS account in my name. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry, but thanks for sharing. Because it verifies he can't get anything with IRS. He's battling with them. IRS says you cannot prove you say you're who you say you are because somebody's already gotten your Social Security number and set this thing up. So they could say, you know, do the direct deposits to my account instead of your account. So again, this is one of those preventive maintenance things, just so the bad guys don't set up an IRS account and say they're you. I have my taxes done by AARP at the senior center. I went in one time. I know my tax returns are on their servers. And the guy said, did you bring your hard copy of your tax return? I said, no. Nobody's ever asked me to bring one before. And so I went home. I accessed my account. And I printed, just for grins, my last year's. Do you want somebody else to be doing that instead of you? So those two accounts you just need to set up for preventive maintenance. And you never have to access them. You just want to keep the bad guys away from doing it. So, if you have a digital executor, you have your version of Stacy, and you have a Yahoo account, they do not know your login and password. You have to send them a letter request as stating the Yahoo ID. That would be SCV Judy. That's a no-brainer. She would know that on every place. A document appointing the requesting party, Stacy, as my representative. A copy of my death certificate. All of that, Senate certified mail, and wait. Or, if you've got the login and password, you go into Yahoo and go to their deletion page, enter the password and CAPTCHA visual code, click the terminate this account, and it's done, which is easier. Okay? Gmail. Here's what you do. And you keep on working with Gmail. And you got another set of steps here. And finally, you delete it. 14 steps. I personally have 4 unique Gmail accounts that are mine, or the computer club's. I have 6 plus APCUG email accounts, because we have the nonprofit email, and I'm chair of so many committees, and each one of them has their own email address, that Stacy will have to know, oh, by the way, send an email to David Williams, the president, and say your mother's no longer around, so he can do something with all my email accounts. He's the only person who can change the passwords. What organizations need to be notified? Who is the sweet young thing here who does the website? I said, sweet young thing who does the website, raise your hand. I know that. I was lying, but that's okay. I knew you'd understand. Hey, she does the website. Just who else in the group has your login and password? Who else in the group has your login and password to the website? Right here. Okay? I'd recommend you have it more than one person. But, yeah, I'm the only one who has the APCUG. I'm the only one that has my computer clubs. I'm the only one that has my civic engagement group. I need to make sure that Stacy has that and can say, here. I don't want anybody else mucking around with it so they don't get them till I'm gone. But how many, you know, who all needs to be notified? Miss Semple in the back is the charge of the money. She has logins and passwords for things, I'm sure. Hopefully there's other people who also have access to that bank account. So what organizations do you belong to where you are the keeper of something that your executor needs to let them know you're not doing that anymore? Where are you? Is it? Okay, let me explain APC. Let me explain APCUG. For some reason, everybody thinks that I can find anything. So my dear friend Jim Evans did the website with setting it up with the website people and this, that, and everything else. And he unexpectedly died. Rotten Jim. And I'm sorry, we can't, you know, it's set up for auto pay. Well, auto pay, the credit card dates changed. And the website was purchased from someplace in Texas. They actually wanted me to go to court to prove I was who I said I was with this organization. And I said, California, Ohio, New Mexico, Arizona, Florida. Which court would you like me to go to? And with that, they said, okay, here it is. I can usually get by things, but not everybody can. But we're keeping all of our stuff in a password protected. We share all our documents on Google Docs. We have a place that is strictly for board that only a select few can get in there. And the password account will be restricted to the president, the secretary, and probably me, because I have to keep finding where the bodies are buried, and I'm darn tired because it takes me a lot of time to find it. So you guys are very wise. But put it someplace where, you know, the legacy can go to two or three people who then can access that. We've chosen Google Docs because that's where we share all our documentation. So good job, you guys. Charlotte. Yep, good job. But you're organized like that. Not everybody is. Just take it, okay? So you need to think about that, not only for here, but for other organizations you belong to. And my daughter's actually going to send an email out to all my contact lists, and she's going to say, Mother's no longer online. Everybody can make of that what they think. That's also going to be on my stone. Judy's no longer online. Well, you know, hey, you still have to be laughing no matter what, okay? And they're going to sit in Eternal Valley, and they're going to be playing as loud as they possibly can all of my favorite music, including a song called White Line that's about cocaine, that they go through the process and then they turn out. I just like the music and the beat and everything, and they're going to go, you've got to be kidding, Mother. And I go, nope, that's your job. Anyway, how many people are on Facebook? You can... every January, I get an email from Facebook that says, would you like to wish Sandy Rompel a happy birthday? Sandy Rompel is my son's best friend's mother. Not only does that make me feel sad about my son all over again, but Sandy, the kids don't know how to close the page. In July, I get a message from LinkedIn, would you like to wish John Iasulo a happy work anniversary? Well, John was big at Southwest by giving us goodies, and he would come down, and he had a computer outlook radio talk show out of Las Vegas, and he would broadcast from there. And so that reminds me, why that's not shut down, I don't know. I really don't want that happening for me. So the kids need to know, login and password, and shut it down. You can memorialize your Facebook page if you want to keep something up there generic about you. Why anybody would want to do this, I don't know. But you can do that. But it's a whole process. So if you have a Facebook account, but your executor doesn't have the login and password, they need to verify that their immediate family member or your executor, they have to have your birth certificate. Why in the world would they need a copy of your birth certificate? I don't know. But according to EverPlan, they did, and your death certificate, proof that you're saying that you can do this, the name on the account. I'm Judith Joy Talor, or Judith J. Talor, or when I worked for Syncor, for some reason I was Judy Talor. How they got just that shortened, I don't know. So Stacy would have to get, now what name did Mother use when she signed up for Facebook? Did she use Judith J., Judith, or just Judy? They want to know. Account email address used to create the account. Well, scvjudy@gmail.com and usa.net are my primary personal ones. Which one did Mother use to set it up? Okay, Mother, thank you. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So if they have your login and password, they log in, they go to delete my accounts, boom, it's done. So much easier than all the paperwork. And everybody needs to be aware of scam calls after OBIT has been published. The bad guys call about money owed, money due, and they get the information because you've included too much information. You know, your mother belonged to the XYZ organization, and you know, she has an outstanding payment due of fill in the blank. Okay, I'll send you a check. You know, because they're not thinking it all through. So you need to know somewhere along the line, you need to have your funeral place request X number of digital, of original death certificates. If you don't, they're $21 a piece in California. If you need to search for a death certificate, $14. It's $21 each. Yep. Okay, so if you paid it back then, it's still $21. $25 if you have to find a birth certificate. $15 for a marriage license. It's a dollar cheaper for divorce paperwork, okay? I just want to say that. But again, so, and some people want an original. Some people will take a photocopy. Some people just want a, hi, here it is. And they say, thank you very much if you're doing it in person, and off you go. But your executor doesn't really know, so as many as they can possibly get, because most funeral places will give you a few for free. It's not for free, it's in the whole package deal. Okay? And these are the people that need to be notified immediately. Social Security, IRS, DMV, get that, driver's license canceled. And of course, the ever-popular three credit bureaus. You need to call them. And don't think you just call one and they pass it on. You call all three of them. And you ask them to say, please add this. Deceased, do not issue credit. If an application is made for credit, please call. In this case, it would be Stacy Titer for verification at blah, blah, blah. And then you need to follow up with a letter. Certified, return receipt requested, just so you've got some paperwork. And you've got to include all this information. And your name, which is Stacy's name, etc. And if it happens to be the surviving spouse, you have to send along a copy of your marriage certificate. That's, thank you. See, okay, that's what I learned today. Because Stacy moved from Canyon Country to Castaic to Parker, Colorado, to Saugus. They still had her. We vote four doors at the top of the hill at the elementary school. Every time I went up there, there was Stacy Titer, still living in Canyon Country. She had moved to Colorado, Castaic, Colorado, and Saugus. She kept getting in touch with the records people out in Norwalk. She finally got her name taken off. She could have voted twice very easily all these years. I thought, oh, what fun for that. So that's a thought right there. But you also, whoever is doing this for you, needs to request a copy of your credit report, which we know is free now, and they should actually get, you know, three a year for at least a year, just to double check that people haven't got, you know, started opening accounts in your name. And if identity theft has already occurred, you do all the stuff of the above with the three credit bureaus, but you need to file a police report, not where you live, where the person that you're doing this for lives, and let them know that, you know, an ID's been stolen. You need to provide evidence of the fraud, like a collection notice or bills or a credit report that you've asked. And again, the old certified letter return receipt requested, bills or credit, and you need to include a copy of the death certificate. So there's another one, and that's a copy. And you need to request an investigation. And then if there is an investigation, they need to provide your version of Stacy, the results of the investigation, and a letter of clearance so your name and identity doesn't get completely trashed. Hold on. And here's, and I stayed on the phone. I was going to be a good person and get the contact information to do that, you know, statement. And I couldn't get through ever to find out anything. So you get the just open numbers. And then I have a gazillion resources here where I got all this information from.